This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome back Susan Gibson. This is John Floridis, and you're listening to Musicians Spotlight. On this show, we welcome back songwriter Susan Gibson. Susan was my very first guest when I took over the production of Musicians Spotlight with co-host Brian Copper in 1997. We've had her on the program in between, now going back to about 2005 or so. She continues to tour the country playing all types of venues, festivals, and concert series, and has a new recording out, The Hard Stuff. Today, we catch up with Susan by phone, returning to Austin, Texas from a short tour back east, and we talk about her career, dealing with parental loss, which she covers extensively in her new songs, dealing with the ups and downs of having written an anthemic song, the multi-platinum-selling Dixie Chicks cover of Susan's Wide Open Spaces, and life on the road with a van full of dogs.
They're having 25 cent wings, I saw on the board.
Okay, all right.
So,
this is
yeah,
fantastic.
That's what made me pull over here, 25 cent wings.
Susan Gibson joining us on Musicians Spotlight. She's joining us from, now tell the listeners where you've pulled off the side of the road, on the road.
I'm on the road. I just did a little run in, I played in Nashville last night and did a little run out to Georgia. I did Arkansas, Tennessee, and Georgia. And now I'm on my way back home to Central Texas. And I'm in the Applebee's parking lot in Mount Pleasant, Texas. I'm probably 115 miles east of Dallas, maybe 50 or 60 miles over the Arkansas-Texas state line. That gives you kind of an idea of exactly where I am. If you wanted to Google Applebee's Mount Pleasant, Texas, guaranteed the only place that has 25 cent wings. So
I was going to say, yeah, I was going to ask you to describe the scene a little bit. The 25 cent wings,
well,
what else we got going on there?
They got it advertised. Let me just take a peek out the door of the van. Let me slide it open. It's kind of rainy and chilly, but probably not compared to what you guys have going on up there, but it's a little breezy. Eight cars in the parking lot. I'm parked way at the back so as to not be a nuisance. Sometimes when I park too far from the entrance, I peg myself for an absolute loiterer, and sometimes I get asked to leave.
Yeah, yep.
So I'm just trying to be inconspicuous over here.
You have some trouble with the police, do you?
Well, I got run out of a Walmart parking lot. You know, I sleep in Walmart parking lots a lot. I sleep in my van. I travel with my dogs, you know, and stay in my van a lot. It's very comfortable, except for a lot of people have a no overnight parking policy. Walmart is typically pretty good at letting you stay, but sometimes they'll have some real diligent security guards. I got run out of the Nashville Walmart parking lot, ended up having to go out to a Travel America. They let you park overnight. They'll let you park for days, I've discovered. Yeah.
These are the things that Susan Gibson learns on the road.
Yeah. Travel America, it's $14. Oh, I hear some sirens.
Well, let's hope everybody comes out okay.
Yeah, my mom used to say a prayer for anyone that was in the vehicle or whoever they were going to help. She would stop whatever she was doing, and so that's kind of I didn't do that. So God, be with that fire truck, and hopefully it's a kitten stuck in a tree, because it's real rainy and wet out here. I don't see that there's many fires happening right now, but
Susan Gibson joining us here on Musicians Spotlight. Susan, a lot of folks are going to be very familiar with your story, your connection to Missoula, to Montana, to Texas. But here was a part of your story that I did not know looking and doing some research. Is it Fridley, Minnesota? Fridley, Minnesota? That's where you were actually born?
Yeah, Fridley. Fridley, Minnesota. Yeah.
I tried every pronunciation but the right one. Fridley.
Yeah, I think it's part of the St. Paul, Minneapolis kind of metroplex suburb. Suburb of St. Paul. I don't even know that I turned a year old there. We moved pretty quick after that to Illinois, Central Illinois.
Again, another part of your story I didn't know, Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad worked for Burlington Northern Railroad, and so he would get transferred or promoted or, you know, something about every couple years, and so we'd move to kind of follow his job, and mostly in the Midwest, Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska, and then we finally landed in a little town called Burleson, Texas, that's south of Fort Worth, and then he got transferred to Amarillo, which is where I finished out school and kind of started playing music before I came up to Missoula.
Well, that's a whole part of your story I didn't know, to be honest. That's great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a shame on me for not waving my Midwestern flag a little bit more, you know, my salt of the earthiness.
Well, you went with the big, dare I say, wide open spaces of Texas and, and Montana to fly your flag from.
Yeah, those are definitely my high points. I mean, I have really fond memories of Nebraska because I had family there. We had cousins there and my grandparents were there. And so that felt like a real solid landing.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois, you know, I was on a tour last spring and got to go. It was kind of a coincidence, but I got to be in every town that I'd lived in. I played in Omaha, Nebraska, and Then I played a gig in a place called Normal, Illinois, which is outside of Berwyn, Illinois. And so that took me right past Knoxville. So I kind of made a little detour and went and visited Knoxville. And it was such a fond memory, because that was before I started school. I think I went to kindergarten and first grade there. But I realized it was kind of before I hadn't moved and been the new kid in school yet. And so it felt like a real innocent time. Like I had not accrued my defense mechanisms there, you know, and my people pleasiness of being the new kid and trying to gauge it. You know, it was kind of apparent that place was like a real innocent time for me, because I just had not been touched by the outside world yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Developed all those coping mechanisms that we have.
I'm driving out along a stretch of Highway 9. It was my father's road, now it's mine. I've always been parallel to the horizon. I've seen it all before, just don't recognize it. These watercolor skies, they deepen like a bruise, casting shadows on all the tricks I had to use. How can you follow when I don't leave no clues? When I tiptoe around in ballerina shoes, I'm on a tight rope, I'm on a high wire. I can't come down, I can't get any higher. Staring out across the thin line, you just hold your breath until the other side. You tightened up the reins, you cut me slack. You gave me just enough rope so I could find my way back. You were a crooked line, I have no doubt. Who would have thought that you would be the one to straighten me out? I'm on a tight rope, I'm on a high wire. I can't come down, I can't get any higher. Staring out across the thin line, you just hold your breath until I reach the other side.
Susan, let's talk about the hard stuff, both literally, okay. Literally, and your new recording. And I want to read a little bit from some of your bio material here. That's the kind of stuff that Gibson writes and sings about on the hard stuff, the stuff that hurts. So why then do many of her songs on the album, the follow-up to her 2015 EP, Remember Who You Are, and first full-length collection of new material since 2011's Tightrope, I remember that one very well, have the effect of leaving the listener feeling not depressed and beaten down, but wiser, lighter, and ultimately uplifted. Let's maybe go with the end first in terms of the, you know, the kind of the what's going on lyrically, and this effect of leaving the listener feeling not depressed and beaten down, but wiser, lighter, and ultimately uplifted. Is that something that you set out to do when you were writing this material, or is that something you think that just has happened naturally?
I think it happens naturally. You know, I'm a real advocate of discovering what a song is, not inventing it. And I think with some of the heavier stuff that I'm writing about on this album, it's like a photograph. If there's not contrast, it's real hard to see all the elements of it. You know, I think with where I am in my life, you know, I still miss my folks like crazy, John, you know, I do, but I'm got a little distance from that sad orphan feeling that I had for a couple years, where I'm able to be grateful. I mean, you know, some of the songs on there about my parents, and there's probably little lines in every song about my parents and that kind of loss or grief or whatever. Maybe not in The Big Game, that doesn't have a lot of grief in it, but you know, that's just been a major thing in my life that is so profound to have both of my parents be gone. I mean, and I'm 47 and I have friends that lost their parents way younger than me, but I just wasn't ready yet. You know, I'm conscientious that I'm trying to, you know, write songs that will land on records that I'll go play in front of people. And so I'm aware of that principle that if you get them to open their mouth laughing, it's a lot easier for you to give them the medicine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that's a real thing that's in my consciousness when I'm writing.
Susan, we should probably let listeners know specifically what we're talking about. You know, you lost both your parents. Well, it's all related to what you're talking about. But the fact that you lost both parents within just a couple of years of each other, and very different experiences in that.
And so
I want to come back to that. But to your point about humor and sadness, or humor and grief, I heard a great quote from the writer and teacher, Stephen Jenkinson. He's a Canadian gentleman, and he's known around the world as teaching about grief, and it has a whole concert of music and spoken word. Stephen Jenkinson talks about, a lot of times we think of grief and humor as being adversaries or being opposites, and in fact, they're companions.
Oh, I believe that.
You know, and I think about that when I think about your writing. I think that seems to be apropos for the material on the hard stuff.
Well, thank you for saying that, John. You know, I really do believe, you know, I believe that there's just a real fine line between laughing and crying. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a physical expression of an emotion. And I've, you know, my sister and I, when we get together, we'll cry until we end up laughing, or we'll laugh until we end up crying.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you only know the magnitude of one by feeling the other too, you know.
Yeah.
Like going thinking about my parents and how I spent a lot of time just and I can still go there real easily of just being resentful that I don't have them anymore, until I realized that depth of that feeling is only because I was so lucky to have them in the first place. And so if I can just, you know, get a toehold in that feeling of gratitude and how lucky I am that I have so many things that remind me of my mom and dad, that they're just not really gone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That song, the 8x10 on the hard stuff, is real directly about my mom and missing her, and you know, that feeling of not being able to pick up the phone and call her when something will happen, or funny, good, bad, whatever. There's just those things that you think, oh my God, my mom would get such a kick out of this. I need to call her. And, you know, she's been gone for 6 years. And so I just tell her. I don't have to call her. I just say, as I'm driving down the road, Mom, you will not believe, you know,
I just got kicked out of the Walmart parking lot.
Every 7 years, your black cats and broken mirrors reach their expiration date. Every 7 years, you get a brand new body because your cells, they regenerate. Every 7 years, you get the 7 year itch because you need a little change of scene. Don't you scratch the surface, gotta dig a little deeper. See, you're living in this world like it's a pinball machine. Who's it gonna be? Who's gonna push a little button? Send you rocketing into the abyss. Cause when you're gone, you're long gone, honey, and you don't leave a trace or a change of address. But you know that you'll never really make an escape. Not even if you walk a mile in Hermes tennis shoes or borrow one of Superman's capes. But that's the funny thing, the tragic thing about our fear. We take it with us everywhere we go. You gotta turn around and face it face to face. You gotta shake it by the collar, smack it smack dab square in the nose. Confrontation, resignation, sweet salvation, hell, damnation. Either way, it's difficult. But if you keep doing the same old thing, you're gonna get the same result. If you're gonna be stupid, you better be tough. Quit looking for loopholes and get to the hard stuff. If that doesn't kill ya, I guess you're strong enough to stick it out. Stick it out. I guess you'll stick it out. You'll never get
Susan Gibson joining us on Musicians Spotlight. Susan, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was the concept of being present. And maybe this is related to kind of the process you've been going through the last few years in grieving the deaths of your parents and channeling that into your work and specifically with the hard stuff. Do you feel like at this point in your career, as you mentioned, you know, being in at 47, do you feel like you're better at being present than you were, say, at even 37? Or 27.
I'm better at the practice of it. I'm better at being aware when I'm not doing it.
Ah.
You know, I feel like, you know, even today, thinking, oh gosh, you know, I got to be able to be somewhere where I've got a good phone signal and it's raining. I've driven through some hella rain all night and today. I mean, it has been a gully washer. And so, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I got to be pulled over at a place where I can set up my thing and I got to let the dogs out and da, 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 da. And I can really, you know, hamster wheel on, you know, something that's going to happen and it's going to work. Or I can do that about, okay, I gotta get those gigs up in Oregon. I gotta get on that those contacts that I made this summer and, you know, work those things, and I can spin about it. And then I have to reel it back in and be like, but right now I'm driving 70 miles an hour. I can't, you know, and I have thought, man, there is something in multitasking, but also sometimes you run the risk of, you know, burning your propane grill down while you're trying to vacuum the carpet to bring it around full circle,
yeah.
You know? And so that being, you know, where your feet are, you know, I got sober. I don't know if you want to put that in.
Oh,
there,
yeah, no, this is fine. As long as you're comfortable with it, I know that's part of your story.
Yeah, it is. It's a big part of, especially addressing this question. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the being where present. Your feet are. Yeah, because this moment right now, John, is sublime, right? And so is this one, and so is this one, and I can miss it so easily by getting in my head, which is where a lot of our, you know, our currency as songwriters is right up there. So I got to go up there every once in a while, and
sure.
It's like going in the attic and unpacking stuff. But I can't live there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't live there. And so, I think that's what, you know, as far as the process goes, that's what it is. It's unpacking a box. It's looking at it. It's having a memory. It's finding that emotional attachment to that memory or that thing, trying to describe it in a way that someone else can also go, oh yeah, you know, mine wasn't my volleyball jersey. Mine was my baton because I was a twirler in high school or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. whatever that sentimental attachment to an emotion where you can write it in a way that it doesn't maybe look exactly the same, but you capture that kind of thing. But I can't live there.
Yeah,
I have
sure.
to, you know, be where I'm at and be present, especially thinking how much time I probably was real preoccupied with either what had happened or what was going to happen. And that being time I cannot get back.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking in context of my folks or my niece and nephew who are growing up so fast. You know, the people that I love, they're growing and changing and moving. And they're not in the same place where I left them the last time. And, you know, I want to be present for that. Must be present to win.
You came along, a traveling salesman. You knocked on my door until I let you in. There was no telling, I don't want what you're selling. But you insisted I'm happy again. I said I'm too busy, I'm too important. I don't have time to be playing your games. You said you don't look that busy. You said daylight is burning, and wasting it is such a shame.
We'll be back with more Musicians Spotlight and our conversation with Susan Gibson.
You came along and you had the remedy. Something to help me get over my blues. And sunshine and snake oil, blue fades to yellow. I'm lucky that you came.
Welcome back to Musician Spotlight and our conversation with Susan Gibson.
Went to New York City on a great big plane. Hit the ground running. just to catch the next train. When we got to the station, we ran straight for the bus. Half the population there ahead of us. Dallas to New York, Brooklyn to Queens, in the same amount of time. We're either going 1,000 miles an hour, or we're just standing in line. Made an appointment with a business suit, took the underground, took the business. And dots on a map, they're my new hometowns. Plenty of folks I call my next of kin. They take me as I am.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking to Susan Gibson, who is joining us from the Applebee's parking lot in Mount Texas.
Living the dream.
Mount Pleasant.
Living the dream.
Mount Pleasant, Texas. And anything else going on at the scene there that you can add to?
Let me peek.
Yeah, take
let
a peek out there. Don't let the dogs out though.
We have doubled the amount of patrons in the Applebee's. They must have seen the 25-cent wings.
I was going to say, 25-cent wings. That'd bring me in.
I just can feel it, that there's a special on wings at the Applebee's.
The wing energy just emanating out onto the highway. Well, I love this, the fact that we're doing this interview in this context. And I'm going to reference back to, you know, you were talking about, you know, how you get on, as you say, hamster wheel, in your mind, going through all these details for all these gigs, all these engagements, all the writing, all the stuff that is involved in your career. And, you know, for one thing, I really appreciate you sharing that with listeners, because, you know, some folks I'm sure would think, oh yeah, well, she wrote a hit song, so I can't, you know, what, she must be like traveling in limousines and, you know, private jets and so forth.
Right. Well, you know, when I'm not sleeping in my van in the Walmart parking lot, I usually am traveling by limousines.
With your dogs.
Private jets and stuff with my dogs, yeah. No, you know what? That's so interesting. I love dispelling that myth of what people might think my life is like because of having that one song. That noise you just heard was Shanghai shaking it off. I absolutely I love being a scrappy musician. You know, I think that was part of my mental trouble or like in my 30s is that I believed it when people said, oh, you got that song, you'll never have to work again.
Mm-hmm. We should just interject real quick here, Susan, in case listeners are tuning in for the second half of this program, that we're talking about the song Wide Open Spaces. So when we talk about that song, that's what we're talking
about.
That
song. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I wrote that. I wrote it at my mom's kitchen table in Amarillo, but I put it together with music when I was living in a little apartment down the street from the university in Missoula. And I was 22 years old, and that song was is still the equivalent of having a part-time job financially that I don't have to go to. It's wonderful, but the worst part to overcome that was me believing that, wow, I had it made, because I love this work.
Yeah, I was gonna say you like the grind, like athletes talk about. They love the grind.
I love it. I love leaving town and getting to town and setting up and playing in places where somebody knows that song, or everybody knows that song and somebody knows three of my other songs. Or nobody's ever heard of me at all, and I get to go in and try hard and, you know, do what I love to do, which is, like, try to get people to look up from their phones. You know what I mean? Or you know, put down their chicken wing and listen to a song. You know, that's what I love. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time kind of buying into this idea that, oh, now I don't have to work so hard. And I, again, talk about having time you can't get back. You know, that was a hard thing to have so much momentum with something and let it come to a halt and then have to get it moving again. And so, you know, and this is, I'm 47, John. So that's 25 years.
I know, I was thinking about that. A quarter of a century since you wrote that.
Yeah, since I wrote that. And it was, you know, charting in 1998. So that's, you know, 21 years. And no, who can eat on something that they made 21 years ago? Nobody. It's rotten. I mean, and I don't mean that song is or that experience is or anything, but it's like, no, the solution to almost all of my problems is write another song and go play another gig. You know, because my problems are pretty small. And so how lucky for me that that's usually where my solution lies, is in something that I love doing anyway.
In the still and silent morning, that's when I miss you most. Cardinals welcome in the sunrise. It sounds so sweet. I'd spread it on my toast, and I put syrup on my cornbread. I like cheese on apple pie. It's the way you always did it. I never thought to ask you why. Your thumb to thread a needle, thin to win when cutting cards. Find that thing that you love doing, and then work hard. fifth when you need a lie. It's the way you always did it. I never thought to ask you why. And I miss your cool hand on my fever, your voice a long distance call, trying to remember every single lesson. I got your pictures on my wall. There's a candle lit beside you, your eyes dancing in the flame. And there you're staring at the camera with your Mona Lisa smile. It's the way you always did it. I never thought
Susan, and again, going back to your bio information and going through some research before starting this interview, one of the things that they talked about was blessings, which is what you're kind of referencing here, what we were just talking about. And I wanted to touch on that a little bit, and also following up, kind of tying that in with the idea of fishing with a line instead of a net. I like that analogy.
Well, you know, I use that, you know, I do songwriting workshops. And I have gotten to teach at a couple of, you know, song school type things and do workshops. I work with an outfit called Soldier Songs and Voices, and it's songwriting with veterans. And so I'm talking about my songwriting process a lot with a lot of different people. And that has always been an analogy that I've used to kind of pinpoint the idea that when you are writing a big idea, the smaller your details are, the more convincing it is. If you have a big idea that you're writing, you know, that's why I think in Wide Open Spaces, the check the oil line is so powerful, because it's such a specific detail that I just thought my dad said that to me. I had no concept that everybody's, you know, especially daughters, everybody's dad. Like, that's how they take care of you, is to make sure you're not stranded on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. So that detail is the detail in the song that I think sells it, the whole thing. You know, it's that way for my performance. It's that way for my Facebook interactions. Make eye contact with those people that are sitting there listening to your songs. Make eye contact with the ones who aren't listening. You know what I mean? Like, throw your line at them. Do it with the girl that's checking you out at the Walgreens, and do it with your server at Applebee's, and make a connection with people. You know, again, back to being present and in the moment, man, we don't know where people are at most of the time when we are interacting with them. And so to make a little connection or have a little empathy for those people and be in that moment together. I remember going through a grocery store line and I said, "How you doing?" And she said, "Well, I'm here." And I thought, "Huh, me too."
Yeah.
Me too. I'm here too.
That's funny. It's deeper than she probably thought.
Yeah. Yeah, you nailed it. We're both here. So, yeah, blessings, they're everywhere. Blessings are everywhere. I have, at first I thought I was unlucky that Wide Open Spaces came so soon, because I looked at it like, shoot, nothing I do is going to compare to that. Everybody's going to say, what have you done since then? Which they do. Some people do. And that it's just, I have to like top it for me to consider myself successful. And the corner that I turned, and I don't know when it happened, but I started realizing how lucky I was that it happened like that, so that I could see it for what it was, which is an absolute blessing. I did not earn it. I did not, it was not merit-based, like I was the best songwriter ever, or even that was the best song. You know what I mean? It's a good song. But, and the Dixie Chicks nailed it, you know, and they just, you know, I'd been singing that song for several years and nobody listened to it the way they listened to it when the Dixie Chicks sang it. So, I mean, just, I'm just so absolutely lucky that it happened then. So I could just be grateful, like, wow, I got so lucky. And so that was kind of a dark time when I was thinking, God, everything that I do compared to Wide Open Spaces is going to be a failure, because that's not true. I was believing something that wasn't true. So it's interesting.
I'm
fascinated by the whole thing.
That's good, because it's going to be along with you for the ride from here on out.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Might as well make peace with that in that way. Yeah.
Who doesn't know what I'm talking about? Who's never left home? Who's never struck out to find a dream and a life of their own? Place in the clouds, a foundation of stone. Many precede and many will follow. A young girl's dream no longer hollow. It takes the shape of a place out west. But what it holds for her, she hasn't yet guessed. She needs wide open spaces, room to make her big mistakes. She needs new faces. She knows the high stakes. She traveled this road as a child. Wide-eyed and grinning, she never tired. But now she won't be coming back with the rest. If these are life's lessons, she'll take this test. She needs wide open spaces. Who'll make her big mistakes? She high stakes.
We've got a big, there's a big grass. We pulled over at the Applebee's actually for the big grassy field next door.
Mm-hmm.
That is not so tall that I can't see the chihuahua in the grass. And so can't lose that one. She's my first line of security.
Oh, mercy. Susan Gibson joining us on Musician Spotlight, and she's calling us from the Applebee's parking lot, Mount Pleasant, Texas, and 25 cent wings special going on there at the Applebee's.
They're getting a lot of free advertising.
They are getting a lot of free. They ought to be our sponsor for this program.
They should be. They should be.
Well, you're talking about the dogs trying to find a good spot to let them out and not lose track of the chihuahua. Talk to me, in all seriousness, or not seriousness, however you want to do it, talk to me about dogs. And because you have, listen, you have been touring with dogs, and I say that plural, and not just plurals in two, but as in three, four, for as long as I've known you. So 20-something years.
My maximum was seven dogs. I had seven dogs, but that was just temporary. I was fostering, and one of them went to my parents, who I got her back. Her name is Clancy. And she's with me right now. And then I have Gilda. For a while, I had five. I was down to five. And that was my regular pack, five. And then my two males have passed away within the last couple years. And so I have three girls, Clancy and Gilda and Shanghai. And Clancy and Gilda are mixes. Clancy's maybe an Australian Shepherd mix. And Gilda's, I don't know what Gilda is. She's a preteen girl mixed with a crotchety old man, and then Shanghai is a full-on chihuahua, and they're awesome. You know, they're 11, 12, and 13 years old, I think. If they were the age that they said they were when I got them, that Shanghai's the youngest at 11, Clancy's the oldest at 13, but I love traveling with them. It does make trips longer, like this trip from Nashville back to Central Texas, you could probably do it in 13 hours. We left last night after the gig and drove until about 3 o'clock this morning, and a couple of stops, and then got up at about 11 and started driving again. And we stop a lot and walk around a lot, which is good for me. And, you know, there's just nothing bad for me about traveling with these dogs. How happy I am in my van. Why do I even have a house full of stuff anyway? You know what I mean? Like, I should just make some brats, burn the whole place down, and park my van in a nice big yard. Because I really am content out here, because I have everything I care about is in this van. I've got my guitars and my dogs.
I've tried every single word in the book, like love and hate, like now and wait. Anything to get you on that hook. It's not a trap, just cause it's bait. Maybe I need a Webster's dictionary, something to expand my vocabulary. I got a million tricks up my sleeve. Need no wedding band, anything to make you believe the smoke and mirrors, they ain't contraband. Maybe I need some tips from Penn and Teller, or the spell to turn me into Cinderella. But I want my way with you. Out a little hope, your saltwater smile, your little crocodile. You're in the crosshairs of my scope. I've been holding my breath for quite a little while. I tend to shoot before I aim. Maybe I wasn't cut out.
SusanGibson.com, and no mystery there to how to spell Susan and Gibson. That's where you can go to find out more about where Susan is and what parking lot or Applebee's or I don't know, how many times can it be Applebee's in the course of a musician spotlight interview.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's where you can find out more about where Susan will be playing and performing, and also her recordings. The Hard Stuff is the most recent recording, of course, and that's where you can find out where to get that and where to download it and so forth. So here we are, 21 years after our first interview, which was the first interview I did when I took over the hosting of Musician Spotlight with Brian Copper back in 97. Wow. And I think we had one in between there at some point.
Yeah.
But so great to have a chance to talk to you, and all the more fun to have you pull off the side of the road. Thank you for doing that and giving us some of your time here on Musician Spotlight. And we will, I'm sure, talk to you down the road.
Hopefully at an Applebee's parking lot. There, I got it in one more time.
Excellent.
Bye, John.
Slips off the track, feeling my way through crossways and blind. I guess it's what you seek, not what you find.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Susan Gibson. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Twitter and on Facebook. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.